Almost 5 years ago, I was preparing for my final stages of my of the process of becoming a school principal. Just to kind of give you a little insight of a background behind the curtains of how that process works, they encourage you to promote your leadership accomplishments or experiences that made you stand out. Of course, that's a struggle for me because when you sit in the grind of a school year, you really don't have the time to think and journal about what you did and what you accomplished. Sometimes you just like, Lord, just get me to 3 o'clock. So, of course, frustrated by that process of trying to tout my own accomplishments, I had a conversation with my supervisor at the time. And I told him my dilemma, and I'm trying to rack my brain, trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about and share with him. And, of course, we both started laughing because she knew that's not the type of person I am. I don't like to brag or boast anything like that or, you know, seek any kind of, recognition for things, except for basketball, of course. I got all the receipts for that. I got pictures, tapes, everything you need. That's another topic, though. She said, Mr. Bryant, I got it. She said, you are a servant leader. I said, oh, okay, I like that. She said, seriously, you lead by example. They put you in different situations in time, and you make sure you rise to the occasion or you kind of step up to the challenge that's given you. You lead by example. You talk about that in your interview process, and if you get the job or not, those things that you do kind of leads on past when you get the job. And, of course, by God's grace and mercy, she was right. I did get a job, obviously. So if I can still borrow your spiritual intellectual mind just for a few more minutes, meet me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. In this chapter, Matthew documents a private or a side conversation with a request made to Jesus. But this conversation ended up being a masterclass, a session on servants or being a servant. Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. Now, of course, we see James, John, and his mother come to Jesus, which, of course, to their credit, they recognize Jesus' authority. But they missed the mark as far as understanding what the Messiah's ministry was. Notice I said ministry. Ministry or serving or rendering service to someone or to a cause. They were looking for prestige and power. Think about those times to sit on the king's right hand and left hand. That was kind of a symbol of power. Missed the mark. Let's keep reading. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, we are able. We see Jesus respond to their request with a question themselves. Hey, are you able to handle this? Of course, they're like, oh, yeah, we got it, God. Yes, Jesus, we can handle it. Not fully understanding that this cup and baptism that Jesus was referring to was going to be, of course, his death, burial, and resurrection, his suffering on the cross. Verse 23. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. So Jesus tells him in so many words, oh, don't worry. You know, you'll experience this cup and this baptism, but up to a certain degree. But what you're asking me for specifically is not mine to give. It's my Father's. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. So now we see the reaction of the 10 disciples here. They were displeased. I like how some other translations put it. They became indignant, or they were moved with indignation, you know, meaning that they were angered, annoyed by this request. So now they all will find themselves now having to revisit this lesson because two of them did not fully let it sink into their heart. Let's keep reading verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. As always, the master teacher, Jesus, here once again turns this opportunity into a teachable moment. Now he's going to give them some spiritual substance to chew on for a minute. Jesus says, take the rulers of the Gentiles. They exercise great authority. Or in other words, they're going to let you know who's in charge. That kind of sounds like people on the other side today, right? I'm assistant manager. I'm the assistant to the assistant. You know, they all these fancy titles, right? But Jesus tells his disciples that how you become great is to be a servant. Totally opposite of what the world teaches. He also says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him become, here it is, a slave or a bondservant. Then Jesus gives the other example of the mindset of servanthood. He once again told them that his purpose was to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Think about it. These disciples saw Jesus day in, day out, the servanthood of him. Time and time again, he healed every form of sickness and disease. He fed the hungry. Remember, Jesus was the first leader of the kitchen ministry, Kitchen 4000, back in chapter 15 of Matthew. Teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom at every possible moment that he had, opportunity to do so. These men saw his life, his ministry, his servanthood, and the glory of Jesus Christ. Even John writes in John 1:14, and we beheld his glory. These men seen it all with Jesus. But here in this text, James and John let self-ambitions cloud their minds, so they missed the mark. They missed the lesson. They took their eyes off the assignment, as Jesus would call them to be servants first. So, church, as I hasten to close before Victor vaporizes me, let me pose two questions for us to think about, apply to our lives, and of course, tonight the lesson will be yours. Question number one, what will encourage us to continually maintain servanthood towards God? What will encourage us to continually maintain servanthood towards God? To those of us who are baptized believers, we must remember that we sacrificed our own desires to become a servant of God by surrendering to his will and dying to self in the water grave of baptism. I love what Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Question two. How do we follow the path of Jesus' example of servanthood? How do we follow the path of Jesus' example of servanthood? Well, someone who follows this example has a heart or a mind prepared and willing to serve God and others. Remember, you got to be willing. Before you even get the call, you got to be ready. Or even when you get the call, you're ready. Sacrifices their own desires once again to maintain their heart and mind as a servant of God. Of course, you're going to take care of your personal responsibilities, family, job, business. Of course, you're going to do that. But you still have to make time to serve. That's a lot of folks. They miss that mark. You got to make time for it. And of course, someone who follows his examples follow the path of Jesus to remain a servant of God. You got to have a mind ready for it. You got to sacrifice yourself for it. But you got to remain it over and over and over again. It's not a one-stop shop and done. Remember, Jesus told his disciples back in Matthew 20:6, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be first your servant. Amen. Tonight, if you're here and not a child of God, not a servant of the Lord, let me invite you to Jesus Christ, and you come simply by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, and you believe that gospel which you heard, Mark 16:15. Repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. Confess Christ as the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. Then be baptized in water for remission or forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. As you come by that grave, the watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ, a new person, ready to serve, ready to be faithful, ready to do all those things that be pleasing to God, all those examples that we talked about this week so far that Jesus taught. We want to be that way, and we want to be faithful unto death so we can receive that crown of life which is promised to us in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Or if you stand in need of prayer tonight or know someone is, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.